Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be looking at the wisdom of Solomon as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Verse 1, "And Solomon the son of David was strengthened in his kingdom, and Jehovah his God was with him, and magnified him exceedingly." This particular verse just happens to be fraught with potential. He was strengthened. The Lord his God was with him. David, in the encouragement of Solomon, kept saying to him, "And may the Lord be with you." And so it was. The Lord was with him and magnified him exceedingly. So Solomon spoke to all of Israel, to the leadership, the captains of the thousands, the hundreds, the judges, to the governors, to the chiefs of the fathers. So Solomon and all of the congregation with him went to the high place that was at Gibeon, for there was the tabernacle of the congregation of God, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness. But the ark of God had David brought from Kirjath-Jearim to the place which David had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it at Jerusalem. However, the brazen altar that Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made, he put before the tabernacle of the Lord, and Solomon and the congregation sought unto it. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and he offered thereon 1,000 burnt offerings. Now, here was the time in Israel when the tabernacle, the place of sacrifice, was at Gibeon, about a two-hour journey north from Jerusalem. And there, that tabernacle that Moses had made in the wilderness had been pitched. When the Ark of the Covenant was removed from the Holy of Holies and taken into battle against the Philistines, captured by the Philistines, later returned to Israel, when David brought it back, he brought it to Jerusalem, where he made a special tent for it. He did not take it back to the tabernacle that was at Gibeon, but brought it instead to Jerusalem, where he had made a tent for it. So the most sacred of all of the furnishings of the tabernacle was at Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant, with the carved gold cherubims on the top, which was the mercy seat. The tabernacle, though, the place of the offerings, the brass altar, the brazen altar, was still in Gibeon. So the place to offer your sacrifices unto God was the central worship place, the offering of sacrifices, the priesthood, was in Gibeon, though the Ark of the Covenant at this time was in Jerusalem. Now, the burnt offerings, as you remember, as we were going through Leviticus and studied the various offerings, the burnt offering was the offering of commitment or consecration unto God. It is that offering where you come and you say, "Lord, I want to just offer myself to you. I want my life to be, in a sense, burned, destroyed, in order that you might fill my life, and no longer I, but you. Not what I want, what you want." It was the offering of consecration, where you consecrated yourself unto God. It is the equivalent in the New Testament to our recognizing that our old life was crucified with Christ. The death of self, in order that Christ might reign within our hearts. And that's what the burnt offering signified. The death of self in order that the Spirit might rule. And so it is quite significant that Solomon, at the beginning of his reign, now, according to Eusebius, one of the early church historians, Solomon was only 12 years old. According to Josephus, the Jewish historian, who also lived just after the time of Christ, according to Josephus, he was 15 years old when he began to reign. So 12 to 15, somewhere in that neighborhood, Solomon was still just a very young boy when he took over as king of this glorious, powerful kingdom that his father David had established. Under David, the kingdom had come to tremendous glory and power and strength. And here is this young boy inheriting this kingdom from his father. And thus his actions are very commendable. At the beginning of the reign, coming with the assembly, the important people, he gathers together the governors, the judges, the elders, and the leaders of the tribes and all, and he brings them to Gibeon that he might there make this consecration unto God. And that night, after this tremendous experience of having offered unto the Lord 1,000 burnt offerings, that night the Lord appeared to Solomon. And in a dream, the Lord said to Solomon, "Ask what I shall give thee." Now, that's been sort of the dream of a lot of people, I guess, and even sort of the plot in some of the fairy tales. You know, the genie and the "ask what I shall give thee." What do you want? 3 wishes. I've often wondered if the Lord would say that to me, just what I would ask for. My grandkids have a clever answer. If they should be granted one wish, the wish would be that all of the rest of the wishes that I have would come to pass. Of course, you've heard the story of the 3 fellows who were shipwrecked on this small little island. They ate up all the coconuts, nothing left. They were slowly starving to death when a bottle came floating up on the beach. They were really too weak to go get it, so they drew straws to see which one would go down and pick up the bottle. And the fellow who got the short straw painfully got to his feet and went down to the beach, picked up the bottle, and just barely made it back, used up all of his strength and energy. And when they pulled the cork, out came the genie and said, "You each have one wish." The Englishman said, "Oh, I wish I was back in my London flat, just lying there in my bed, so comfortable, so nice." And immediately, he was there in his London flat, comfortable and happy. The Italian said, "Oh, I wish I were back in Rome, driving my Maserati down the streets again, just enjoying Roma." Immediately, there he was in his Maserati, just enjoying Rome. Third fellow said, "I'm so lonely here without my 2 friends. I wish they were back here again." Ask what you will. You know, in a sense, the Lord does say that to you. Jesus said, "And whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." He said, "Ask. Henceforth you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, please ask, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." And he said, "And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." The Lord said, "Ask and you shall receive." Seek and you will find, knock and it will be open. Pretty broad promises. And they are promises that are so broad, it's led a lot of people into sort of a spiritual trap. Into believing that I can ask God for just anything I want. And then their minds go immediately to those things that would be pleasing or satisfying to the flesh. And they think that these promises are somehow designed to fulfill our every fleshly desire. These are tremendous promises by Jesus to us, but who is us? Who was Jesus talking to when he made these extremely broad promises in regards to prayer? In each case, he was talking to his disciples. He was not talking to the multitudes. He was not talking to outsiders. And what constitutes discipleship? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. To whom did Jesus say, ask? And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do. He said it to his disciples who, first of all, had denied self, which would then preclude my asking for something for my flesh or just to satisfy the desires of my flesh, because those I reckon to be dead, crucified with Christ. I've denied the self-life. And so the whole idea that, you know, I can go out and claim a Maserati or some other exotic sports car or some exotic lifestyle, opulent lifestyle, no, that's totally opposite to what discipleship is, the man who has denied himself to take up the cross to follow Jesus. So the Lord is saying to Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. Do you know what I came up with? If the Lord should say that to me, Lord, you just give me whatever you want to. That's because I've come to know the Lord, his grace and his love and his goodness. And whatever God wants to give me, I know I will be totally happy and satisfied with. And you know what? I have discovered that he usually wants to do more for me than what I even thought or would have asked. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Ask what I will give thee. And Solomon said unto God, you have shown great mercy unto David my father, and you've made me to reign in his stead. Surely the Lord was merciful to David. David was aware of that. So many of the Psalms David devotes to the mercies of God. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high is his mercy over those that fear him. And he devotes the Psalms to extolling the mercy of God. And David was conscious of God's mercy. You've been merciful to my father David, but now you've made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Jehovah God, let your promise unto David my father be established. Now, what was the promise to David? That God would raise up a son after David to sit upon the throne, and this son would build the temple. Lord, just establish that promise that you made to David my father concerning me, for thou hast made me the king over a people that are like the dust of the earth for multitude, vast nation, great nation. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Solomon, realizing his shortcomings, his inabilities, is asking the Lord to give him the capacity to fulfill the obligations that had been placed upon him as king over Israel. Acknowledging the fact that he was too weak for the task. You know, those are the people that God loves to bless, loves to do things for. Those people who recognize their own inabilities or weaknesses. That person who feels that he is sufficient, who feels he's got the answers, who feels that he doesn't need any help, he's perfectly capable of doing it. The Lord so often just lets that person go on in his own power and in his own strength and mess things up. But that person who recognizes, Lord, this is too much for me. I can't handle it. I need your help, Lord. I'm not capable of doing this myself. Lord, help me to fulfill this mission that's been set before me. And recognizing his own limitations, he seeks for the help of God. And those are the men that are blessed of God, and those that are men that are used by God, because they then are the men that will give glory to God, because they know that the work is of God and not of themselves. I've called upon God for help because I know I can't do it. When the help comes, I praise God because he did what I could not do. So, Lord, grant me the wisdom and the knowledge that I need to take care of the responsibilities of judging over this, your people, and the recognition that he was just an overseer of the people of God. And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you did not ask for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, neither did you ask for long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee. But I will also give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had before thee, and neither shall there be any after thee that will have the like. God's pleasure with his request, because his request was only the capacity, God, give me the capacity to do the work you've called me to do. Enable me, Lord, in this task. The Lord said, I'll do that, but this is what I will also do. And that's where Paul said, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God is so good, and so many times does more than we ask. The thing is, about prayer, important lesson. The Lord said to King Asa, chapter 15, for the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Here's the basic principle. God is looking for people whose hearts and lives are attuned with his. People that are doing the things that he wants done. People whose hearts are towards the work of the Lord. God is looking for such people in order that he might pour out upon them his power, his blessing, his strength, his resources. And so the secret really is just to get your heart in harmony with God and the purposes of God. That's the kind of a man God is looking for, that through him God might channel his resources. We'll get to that when we get to the 15th chapter. So, Solomon got his heart in line with God. Lord, I want wisdom and knowledge to govern these people. good. Your heart's in line with my desires.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with The Wisdom of Solomon. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and watch over you during the week, and may God keep you unspotted from this evil world in which we live. As Paul said to Timothy, my son Timothy, flee ungodly lust. There is so much to stimulate you in this world in which we live. It's so easy that our imaginations be directed toward evil and evil things. Keep your mind pure. Keep your heart pure. Walk with God in close fellowship. Give no place to the enemy. Walk in purity and righteousness in fellowship with God through Jesus. And thus may you have a glorious week walking in the Spirit. For they that are in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. May you be in the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
I'd like to talk to you about being ready as a Christian, ready to give an answer to anyone, anywhere, who might ask you about Jesus Christ. And the only way to be prepared is to know and to memorize the Scriptures. For this very reason, I'm excited to present to you the long-awaited release of Pastor Chuck Smith's Through the Bible Commentary, C3000 edition. Get ready to study the Bible in a whole new way. Listen to Pastor Chuck as he teaches Hebrew and Greek word origins, biblical dates and history, archaeological information, church history, and of course, practical applications to apply to your life on a day-to-day basis. Get ready to be a great biblical scholar with the help of Pastor Chuck's Through the Bible Commentary. To order your copy, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673. That's 800-272-WORD. Or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.